Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to an encore edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the resource, Speaking of Homosexuality by Joe Dallas, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. It's an absolute must read. You can get it on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Will go right to your calls. The number to dial again, 888-ASK-HANK. But I do want to make a comment about what happened during the third debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. In an exchange between Chris Wallace and Hillary Clinton, the subject of partial birth abortion came up. Chris Wallace said, "I want to ask you, Secretary Clinton, how far you believe the right to abortion goes. You have been quoted as saying that the fetus has no constitutional rights. You also voted against a ban on late-term partial birth abortions. Why?" To which Secretary Clinton responded, "Because Roe v. Wade very clearly sets out that there can be regulations on abortion as long as the life and health of the mother are taken into account. The kinds of cases that fall at the end of pregnancy are often the most heartbreaking, painful decisions for families to make. I have met with women who, toward the end of their pregnancy, get the worst news one could get, that their health is in jeopardy if they continue to carry to term, or that something terrible has happened or just been discovered about the pregnancy. I do not think the United States government should be stepping in and making those most personal of decisions. So you can regulate if you are doing so with the life and health of the mother taken into account." Now that is a mouthful. The question that has to be asked is, partial birth abortion really necessary to save a woman's life? Well, here are the facts. The research actually demonstrates that almost all partial birth abortions are performed on healthy mothers and healthy babies. Secondly, there is no health condition that requires a mother to half deliver her child and then murder the child in the most grotesque and horrifying manner. Thirdly, there is no condition a child could have that requires the child to be terminated, unless, of course, the premise is that a child that suffers a malady like, say, for example, Down syndrome, is not worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And one other point that comes to mind, if she does not think, speaking of Clinton, that the government should step in to protect a partially born child. Logically, she would not want the government to protect a child against the horror of infanticide. Only real difference, of course, is a matter of location. Underlying all of this are materialist assumptions, which presuppose that a Down syndrome child has less worth than would, let's say, a distinguished scientist. Reason without revelation led scientists, actually, and this is a historical reality, to postulate that blacks are inferior to whites, that women are inferior to men, and that a partially born child is inferior to a designer baby. But never reason informed by revelation. The truth is, all are created in the image and likeness of God, and that should make all the difference in the world. Chris Wallace asked Secretary Clinton directly about late-term partial birth abortion, and Clinton responds with what cannot be called much other than obfuscation regarding the life of the mother, as though that is a legitimate reason. In other words, she knowingly, blatantly lied to over 50 million people. This is a serious matter. Abortion is nothing short of terminating the life of a person created in the image of God. Clever code words are the opium of the pro-abortion lobby, and they are specifically designed to dull human sensibilities to the horror of abortion. In fact, even the moniker Planned Parenthood may well be the quintessential example of a clever code word or moniker. The positive ring of the words masks the horrific reality that to abort a preborn child is to terminate a life. In fact, I could quote Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who is an icon for Hillary Clinton, who said the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. To kill it. Such killings are positively repositioned as pro-choice prerogatives. The preborn child terminated, well, they're indelicately referred to as fetuses, and pro-life advocates are profanely recast as social extremists. I think of the word tolerance. It is probably the first and greatest commandment of the pro-abortion lobby, but in essence, it is hardly tolerant. The essence of this idea or word is forever memorialized in the oft-repeated refrain, "Don't like abortion? Well, don't have one. Just don't impose your antiquated morality on me." Well, you know, sometimes a mantra like that sounds eminently tolerant, but if you think about it, there is a flaw. Imagine someone in the interest of tolerance applying the same reasoning to rape. Don't like rape? Well, don't rape anybody. Just don't impose your morality on me. And I think we would do well to remember that tolerance with respect to personal relationships is a virtue, while tolerance with respect to truth, a travesty. One other point, and many more could be made, but I'm thinking about the word non-personhood, which is perhaps the subtlest of all contemporary pro-abortion arguments. While conceding that science is demonstrating that has demonstrated that human life begins at conception, some pro-abortionists argue that the fetus is a non-person until the second or third trimester of gestation. Only then does the quote-unquote creature become a child. In reality, we are distinctly human in each stage of our development. We are conceived not only with all the earmarks of biological life, but with eternity etched in our hearts. Another way of saying that is both the physical and the non-physical aspects of our humanity are present at the moment of conception. It's sad, but it is true. Ethics and morality are frequently a function of the size and strength of the latest lobby group rather than being firmly rooted in scientific and spiritual standards. With no enduring reference point, societal norms have been quickly reduced to mere matters of choice. And as a result, year by year, multiplied millions of preborn children are sacrificed on the altar of abortion. To be silent or to be uninformed in an age of scientific enlightenment is to be complicit in the carnage. My commentary is not designed to be a political statement. My commentary has been aroused in me as a direct result of watching and listening to the most horrifying statements with respect to killing children. Even Carl Sagan believed that after the first trimester, you no longer had a creature, you had a child. Now, of course, he was wrong. From the moment of conception, we have personhood. But even he did not want people to have abortions in the second or third trimester, much less late-term partial birth abortions. And now we have a politician who is obfuscating, lying flat out to millions of Americans and people around the world about the realities of partial birth abortion. Again, the reason I am speaking out has nothing to do with politics. If Donald Trump had said the same thing, I'd be saying the same thing. This is now being touted at the highest echelons of society, and it has to be rebutted. As I said, to be silent or uninformed in an age of scientific enlightenment is to be complicit in the carnage. I could say a whole lot more about this, and maybe I should. I mean, you think about what partial birth abortion entails. The cervix dilated. Ultrasound device and forceps grab the baby. The little body is pulled downward until the head remains in the cervix. Then the abortionist grasps the nape of the neck and cuts open the back of the skull with blunt scissors. And then a device is inserted into the wound. The brain material sucked out. If kidneys or the other organs are desired, they're removed while the child is still partially in the vagina. And these procedures, which I could go on to describe, but I won't because they're so ghastly and horrifying, are done to a baby that has not been anesthetized. Does that baby feel pain? Yes. Does the father of 12 children, I can tell you I have been in the hospital watching birth after birth after birth. And when you see the wonder of life, one person emerging from another person, and then contemplate the horror of late-term partial birth abortion, not being apologized for, but championed. It is almost beyond conception. And I'll say one other thing. I alluded to this, but it should be underscored. The baby is not just material, not just molecules in motion. There's a metaphysical aspect to that child. And that child is terminated. We'll be back with answers to your questions in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says the universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky? Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
www.abortion.org.
The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustra Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers. Next up is David. He's listening in Fresno, California on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Oh, I had a question in regarding, there's a passage in the Bible, I believe it's in Matthew 20. And so there was two, I was listening the other day to two individuals. I was at a barbershop, and they were talking about that passage. And then the one that was not partial towards the Bible, he was saying that how God was not fair, how I guess how the other group of people, how they got paid the same amount of money. And I guess they came at a later time in the day. And he was trying to say, well, how is God fair? The guy that was not partial towards the Bible, and he was saying that. And then, you know, the guy that was partial towards the Bible, you know, he was coming back and he had some, you know, some good points and stuff. But I was just wondering what your thought was on that.
Well, I would say a couple of things about that. Number one, Jesus in the parable is talking about a landowner who made a deal with the early comers to harvest crops, and he made that, they agreed to that, and he gave them exactly what they agreed to. And then when people came after the heat of the day, and there was still work to be done, he paid them the same amount, but he had the right to do what he did, which is an expression of grace. This is the beauty of the parable. This is God's grace, which God graciously extends to those who are early in the process of coming to the vineyard and those who are late in that process. Those who come early should not be proud of their long service, nor resent those who came later on or came at the 11th hour, as I think the text says. To the latecomers, Jesus says that it is possible even in a short time or at the end of one's life to recover and inherit everything. And I think this is beautiful. I'll tell you, I read this very passage myself, and there's a reason I did. I've just experienced the death of a loved one. And that loved one had some tough patches in his life, but he finished well. And I, just as a person, was so moved and overwhelmed by how well he finished. I wasn't thinking about the rough patches at that time. I was thinking about you finished well. A great testimony to your family and to your friends. And ultimately, a testimony of the grace of God. And I think in many ways, it could have been meant as a warning, this parable, meant as a warning to the disciples themselves. Because in the verses prior, Christ had responded to Peter's question, "We have left everything to follow you. What will there be in it for us?" Well, Jesus concludes with, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Because we judge by certain standards, God judges by other standards, which is to say that God sees all the intents of our heart, and He measures things not just in length of service, but he sees the heart of service. So I think this is a poignant and profound parable that underscores the very grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's one of the most beautiful parables in the scriptures. Those who work all day should not be envious of those who work a fraction of the time, because they do not understand, those who work through the long day, the concept of grace. They got what they bargained for. They got justice, yet they accused the landowner of injustice. Those who do not understand grace and condemn the grace giver will not inherit the kingdom. For those who condemn grace, no grace will be given. So I think there's a warning implicit in all of this as well. I remember years ago reading R.C. Lenski, who was a very good Lutheran commentator, saying that the pearls of grace are never thrown before the wicked, self-righteous swine. And I think that's true. I mean, these are pearls of grace that are extended, and people instead want to look at it as unfairness. If we got justice, we'd be in trouble. The beautiful thing about our God is he is the perfect blend of justice and mercy.
That's good stuff, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Herrian next, listening in Bakersfield, California, K-E-R-I. Hi, Herrian.
Actually, it's Harlan.
Harlan, sorry. You know, it's that. That's exactly what it says on the screen. I just read it wrong.
I believe in the Trinity.
Yeah.
But there has been some mixed, I don't know, what do you call it? Did Jesus exist in heaven before he came to earth? And who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden? Is that a complicated question, or am I being misled about something?
No, I think it's a right question to ask. I mean, it's certainly true, based on Scripture, that Jesus has always existed. Yeah, you look at Colossians chapter 1, you see that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So what we read in Colossians there, and we can see this as well in John chapter 1, we read that Jesus has always existed. There was never a time that Jesus was not. Now, the Bible teaches that there are three persons in the Godhead. In other words, within the one God, there are three centers of consciousness. And you have to think about this critically, because were that not so, independent of the universe, there would be no such thing as love, because love always requires an object of love. So if there was not a triad, as it were, within the Godhead, God would have been morally defective, because he would not have had the attribute of love. So the beautiful thing about the Trinity is that it expresses a God of love, not a morally defective Unitarian God, from the very beginning. So always Jesus existed. Always there was one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, God manifests himself to people. When you think about what happened with Abraham, God and two angels met him on the plains of Mamre. Now, God took on form for his own purposes, as did the angels. That's called a theophany and an angelophany. However, we can't assume that God has form. And we also have to realize that there are in Scripture what are called anthropomorphisms. Now, simply put, that means God communicating in the way that humans can attain to or understand. So the Bible uses language that's a heavenly condescension to our own inadequacies. So in places, the Bible says God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. We shouldn't suppose that that means that God has good feet. and big feet at that. It really is a way of speaking that God was with Adam and Eve in intimacy and closeness. So it's, again, called an anthropomorphism. We don't want to read it in a wooden literalistic sense.
Well, I don't know if I'm still a little confused.
Well, let's see if we can unpack it if you are.
I remember that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he was praying to the Father, and he was still, before his crucifixion, he was praying to his Father.
That's correct.
And so he has a Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He knew he was going to suffer an agonizing death on the cross. So that means that Jesus Christ has a Father, conceived the Holy Spirit through Mary. Am I wrong in that?
Well,
but I'm confused a little bit yet.
You are and you're not. I mean, we take terms and sometimes we make them univocal as opposed to equivocal. In other words, the meaning we pour into words is what is really important. Father can be used in a lot of different ways, just as God can be used in a lot of different ways. Satan is called God in the Bible. He's called the God of this world. People are called gods, representatives of God to the people. So God can be used in different ways, and certainly Father can be used in different ways. The idea of Father and Son does not suggest sexual procreation, but special relationship. Now, Jesus in the incarnation takes on another nature, so he's one person with two natures. I cannot explain all of that to you simply because I don't comprehend it myself. I apprehend it, I don't comprehend it. The simplest religions are the made-up religions, but God is not simple, he is complex, he's beyond our ken. You never have a contradiction, but you do have things that surpass our ability to fully comprehend. But the idea of the Son praying to the Father or the Father sending the Spirit is not a matter of complication. It is simply a matter of communicating that the one God has three centers of of consciousness that are in communion and relationship one with another. And the beautiful part of the biblical text is that they are not alone. We have been brought into, as has been well said, life in the Trinity. So we ourselves are in this love relationship where we communicate with God and God communicates with us. So complex, yes. Contradictory, no. We will spend an eternity seeking to fully grasp the love and the grace and the goodness of the one who saved us by his grace. Coming up on the other side of the break, the quote of the day. This is a new addition to what I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Kind of excited about it. I run across so many phenomenal quotes every day. I started thinking a few weeks ago, I ought to present a quote of the day on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So coming up after the break, the quote of the day. Also want to remind you as we go to break that if you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. You can check that out at equip.org/donate. And we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions as well. Stay tuned for that.
With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustrum Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast
so stay tuned.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says, "The universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky?" Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Reginald, listening in Bedford Heights, Ohio. Hi, Reginald.
I'm fine, praise God. Thank you, Mr. Hanegraaff, for taking my call. I want to call and first and foremost tell you that I'm a listener of you, and may God continue to bless you with your wisdom and knowledge. And I want to commend you on your response to the gentleman last week that called, that you could tell he was well studied in what he wanted to ask you for the black Israelite. I want to commend you, Mr. Hanegraaff, on your laboring with him. But I also want to say today what that prompted me to call was the gentleman that called about his choice to reject and just can't believe. And your answer to him was, to be separated from God. That is his, that would be his free will. But also that it is a penalty, and that penalty is a tormenting hell. Not just separation from God, but it is a tormenting, eternal tormenting.
Yeah, Reginald, I think you're absolutely right. That is what separation is. The very fact that you are separated from the goodness, the grace, and the glory of God is torment. And the Bible uses many ghastly metaphors to underscore precisely what you're saying. Blackest darkness forever is one of them, or fire or sulfur. So there are many different metaphors that have sharp teeth that really expose the horror of an eternity separated from God. And this is precisely what the Scriptures teach us. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, the wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. So the destruction is not temporary, it's everlasting, and the plain reading of shut out from the presence of the Lord implies that the person experiences continued existence. So yes, that is precisely right.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you for calling. I love people like yourself with such great passion. Give me a man with passion, we can change the world. So I really appreciate your call.
Praise God. May God bless you.
You know, I was thinking about what C.S. Lewis said. I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully, all would be saved. But my reason retorts, without their will or with it. If I say without their will, I at once perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? And if I say with their will, my reason replies, how, if they will not give in? Ultimately, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find. To those who knock, the door will be opened. I want to leave you as well today, although the broadcast isn't over, with a quote from Daniel Webster. This is the quote of the day. Daniel Webster, Secretary of State from 1782 to 1852, said that if the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy, misrule, degradation, misery, corruption, darkness will reign without mitigation or end. Think about that. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, you have nothing but darkness and degradation. A great warning for those who are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, those who are called to make his will and his way plain to a lost and searching world. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Susan. She's listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Hank. I'm sorry I'm not one of the cheery ones today, but I'm one of the Christians who's been experiencing soft persecution, or I guess it feels pretty much like an attack at my work for the last 7 months. I'm an educator in a higher level of education, a professor. I'm a conservative Christian, and what you're telling people is absolutely true. I am always kind to people, no matter if they're a homosexual or I have a colleague who has a transsexual daughter. I'm always kind to people, but they have just made my life so hell. And my, with the cooperation of my employer, I'm being forced out after being a professor for 10 years.
Mm.
And I have listened to your show daily, and it has sustained me. I got to thank you for that. But I just wanted to ask you, I mean, I'm in it. How do I sustain myself through it? I pray all the time. I do. I'm just, I feel pretty lost, Hank.
Yeah. Well, let me just quote something, and this is not to be trite about your circumstance, but maybe it will be helpful, because you think of a guy like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's often called the Prince of Preachers. And he died at 57, had a very difficult life, even though he's history's most well-read preacher. So you think about that. When he was alive, he had gout, but he was also persecuted by fellow pastors because of his success. And so he had a lot of difficult times, and eventually, as I said, died at a fairly young age. And he had a quote, and I don't know if I've got it completely memorized, but it goes something like this: "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermon's with me. The result of melting is that you're poured out into new and better fashion." And I think that ultimately, Susan, is the hope. You've gone through persecution, but that fire of persecution is going to pour you out in new and better fashion. And that's why we're told in Scripture, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We're also told, blessed, and this is Jesus speaking, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So what am I saying in all of that, Susan? I'm saying that you have to honestly, in these difficult times, take the long view, which is set your sights on eternal verities rather than mean earthly vanities. Life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Now, look, that's easy to say when you're not in the cauldron of persecution. It's much harder to say when you're in the midst of persecution. But there are so many Christian icons that have gone before us who have faced persecution, their eyes set on the prize. So there's a couple of things I would say. You're going through that cauldron, that storm. It's difficult, but God has a purpose in it, which is to say, we can quote the oft-repeated words of Paul, all things, even this persecution, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. So now you have paid a price for your love, and also for your life and for being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have paid a price. God is not going to leave you orphaned. He has closed a door to open another door. So the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much, Hank. Thank you so much. Those words are going to sustain me. I really, really appreciate it. And I really hope everyone listening knows to speak up, because it's real what you're talking about, and it's ugly. And just thank you so much again. I appreciate it.
Bless you, Susan. It was an honor to talk to you. I mean, this is why a number of months ago I decided to take Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, and make it available to Christians, because soft persecution is morphing into hard persecution. But she gives so many alarming anecdotes. She talks about the high school football coach suspended in Washington State in 2015. Why? Because he kneeled to say a prayer at the end of a football game. Or the American military chaplains who claim to have been reassigned on account of their faithfulness to traditional Christianity, or the small business owners working in the wedding industry at a time when vindictiveness in the name of the sexual revolution is apparently boundless, or the Christian staffer at a daycare center who would not address a 6-year-old boy as a girl and was fired on account of it, or the teacher fired in New Jersey for giving a curious student a Bible. And of course, many other related cases in which acting on religious conviction has been punished, and at times vehemently. And Susan has just borne eloquent testimony to that very truth. As Christians, we will face more and more of that. Before I came in the studio today, I was reading about the great persecutions that took place in China. Even after the Cultural Revolution, 1983 was one of those seminal years. Many, many people imprisoned for their faith. One man that I met, he was imprisoned when his daughter was but 6 months of age and out of prison when she was 17, and he was on death row for much of that time, and he bore his imprisonment with great joy. I'm going to see him in Shanghai in a few weeks, but it is a great testimony to God's grace and the fact that we can be sustained because this man is reunited with his family out of prison and living a life for the furtherance of the gospel. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Again, we're so appreciative of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The new Illustra Media film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from? And why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film, Origin, on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth.
As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.